Welcome to Beer Field. I am your host at Beer Field Hop with two P's. As always, joined by at Ryan Miner underscore FFB at Beer Fuel Thurry. Ryan Miner, Dan Thurry. Welcome back after a week off. Do you all have a good Thanksgiving? Are you 20 pounds heavier? Dan, you are in Minnesota making awesome trades.
Oh, man. Deshaun, it fucking died laughing. I'm on his couch, and he sends that trade to me. I just look over to him. I'm like, this is amazing. We're going
to
do it.
What a time to be alive.
I feel like I had the perfect response to that, which was... You two are hanging out, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. It was perfect.
Was the $1 a fab for
Zach Wilson? Because who fucking cares? And touchdown Seahawks. $1. He's probably not even worth a dollar.
No.
He's barely worth half. He's probably worth less than.
I'm sure somebody.
But a dollar is a dollar.
I'm sure somebody thinks he's worth a dollar.
The moms probably think so. That's probably true.
$1. He's not even. He's not even worth.
I don't like hearing ourselves come back through the microphone. Like, this is a professional quality show. I'm gonna need to show some professional quality courtesy.
Okay? Don't talk to me like I'm your fucking child, please. Child, please.
Sometimes feel like I'm surrounded by children. We're going to get through the news and do some head coaching predictions and talk bi-apocalypse a bit and etiquette at this stage of redraft. So we got a little bit of a semi-planned show, actually. So that's weird for us. But first, beer or whiskey or wine or... seltzer,
the wine, the beer, the whiskey,
whatever it is, we don't discriminate.
Nope.
What's fueling Beer Field?
All right, Dan.
So
yeah, called on just because you were actively drinking when the drop.
That's fine. No. So. As Hopper alluded to, I was back in the northern land for the holidays in Minnesota. So naturally, when I do my travels, I like to bring beer back. Or at least have beer on the show, from where I just was. So I went. We stayed downtown Minneapolis for our final night. I know with my dad and stepmom and some friends, and before then we stopped by a place called Lakes and Legends. That's where this beer comes from. This is Lakes and Legends Brewery. This is a Czech Pilsner called Vibe Check, as spelled with Czech.
See what they did there.
Yeah, right. It was actually a really cool spot. They had a marketplace going on. So there's a bunch of different vendors there and stuff like that. So we help support local for people around there. And try to talk to one of the main brew guys, but they were fucking swamped. So I didn't get that much of a chance to, but I had this beer there, was a big fan of it, wanted to bring this back, and I'll give my quick thoughts about it later on in the show.
All right, Ryan.
All right now.
What IPA you got?
Oh, so
I can't wait for one day he goes, I have a lager, actually. Thanks.
That'll blow my mind.
Okay, I'll be prepared then. And I'm not going to do it next week. But what?
It's gonna be longer. I like that final episode.
It won't be like next week, show up. But it'll be sometime, and he's just gonna throw me off, and it's gonna be like an IPL instead.
Oh my god, that's right.
That's a good idea.
It's gonna be a lager, but it's still gonna be hopped to shit.
So as I celebrated my college football season ending with the Michigan Wolverines beating the Ohio State Buckeyes, thank fucking God for the third year in a row, I am enjoying a short Hoopa Loopalicious Imperial India Pale Ale.
Good old shorts.
Good old IPAs.
Yes. But,
it's Imperial.
Yes.
I bet it has
IPA. I square PA.
I bet it's bitter with tropical notes of grapefruit and maybe a bit of an alcohol backbone to it. How erotic.
And there's my beer review. You're welcome.
How erotic.
Welcome to my world from 6 years ago.
How far
I have nothing more to say.
How far are we in the episode?
Right now?
The joke.
Or
no, I'm being honest, because I wouldn't say beer review. I'd be like, just go back to 6 minutes and, 13 seconds.
5 minutes and 42 seconds.
Oh, so close.
On YouTube.
You were really close.
The auto recording might be, audio recording might be a little skewed from that, but you get it.
I just guessed too.
Go back to 5 minutes and 30 seconds and you'll catch it.
Yeah, there's my review. So that's all I'm going to say.
Right, I got Victory Brewing's Merry Monkey, so actually something you can get places that aren't just around here. Victory Brewing out of Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Merry Monkey is their golden monkey, so their Belgian Tropel with cranberry, orange peel, cinnamon, and nutmeg. So I see a lot of winter beers coming out right now, which are generally just spice to hell versions of other beers. And there's usually going to be higher ABV. They're designed to warm you up. So here we are. This is 10%. So four reviews about halfway through the episode.
News.
All right. Carolina, we'll start there. Frank Reich fired from the Carolina Panthers. Owner David Tepper. Lots come out about his overstepping. I guess this is like, since he's taken over, they're going to be on their sixth head coach. So there's no consistency within the organization. He's been painted as impatient and came out and said, well, I'm actually very, very patient, but I need to see results. But he doesn't, I guess, understand that it takes a bit for there to be like cohesion and progress, especially with a team that by all intents and purposes should be in a rebuild. He apparently tried to step into play calling at one point as well, and handed him like a piece of paper. It's like, hey, the Browns ran this week. We want to run it without anything at all. Just, hey, we're gonna run this play, trying to step into that. And they fired Josh McCown, which should be, that's just icing on top. This is like the worst.
I think they also fired the running backs coach too. Did they fire Deuce Staley?
They fired Deuce Staley
also. Yep. So
they're gonna,
if only they had like a true wide receiver one, like a, I don't know, DJ Moore, probably would be really helpful there.
Probably would have helped.
You know, why would you don't trade your top receiver away for a quarterback to give him nothing to throw to?
Would it have helped?
It would have been better.
So I actually,
took
a look at Bryce Young earlier, and maybe I think is what it comes down to. So the interception rate isn't bad, the touchdown rate is what's horrible. So if you know that they're not scoring. Yeah, there's a play calling component to that when you're only averaging 5 yards per attempt or so. But yeah, I think DJ Moore does help that. Have you seen what he does after the catch with Chicago in particular and carrying defenders, adding yards on plays? I think it would have a bit.
I
think it would have made a bit of a difference.
I think it would have, took them from being one of the worst offenses in basketball to slightly better basketball, football to slightly better. Cause it's not like they were lighting up the world before they traded them. And I don't think Bryce Young's playing well above and beyond what they had prior to them coming in there. Well, there's play calling. Sure. It might be. He's also only played 12 games. Like, he has a lot more time to still learn. He still has to play through this year. And the Panthers have now shown to us that they're in a fucking shit show situation, and Bryce may never get fixed.
Yeah,
not that he needs to be fixed. It's just that this is bad. Like, they're already cleaning house, and it's still midseason.
Yeah, and I'm looking through his efficiency numbers and accuracy numbers and everything, and I mean he's
game manager right now.
He's what you'd expect. He's a rookie quarterback that didn't get lit out of a cannon. Yeah. I mean, he's like not super terrible at anything that matters, right? Reading versus zone, I guess, is a little bad, but he's not super terrible at anything that matters, and he's not in the top half of the league in anything either. He's not in the bottom third in anything, though. He's like in, or not in the bottom quarter, he's like in this weird, like, I'm going to say in the 33rd percentile of everything, and it'll just be good.
It's with like
rookie quarterback without things around him. Okay, I get it.
It's like if they, you know, can get some of these, you know, build around pieces, maybe get a play caller or an offensive minded head coach that could be a little more creative.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those quarterbacks, right? Like, he's not going to elevate an offense, but he's not going to, you know, like he can thrive. Like he's.
I have a question.
The Goff and the Cousins of the worlds.
Have 60 quarterbacks taken enough snaps to have receiver target separation ratings? Because he's 60th in his receiver target separation.
I mean, that's got to be.
And they're
he's got an old man Thielen running routes. He's got Terrace Marshall and DJ Chark, who's like half hurt.
2.82 yak after doesn't even register. And the running game has been a shit show the whole time. So, I mean,
yeah,
you can hate on Bryce Young, but
oh yeah,
it's an entire fucking offensive problem. It ain't just Bryce Young is not the problem here.
No, right, not at all.
No. I mean, he's yes.
You have nothing around him.
It also doesn't help that, you know, Stroud has gone on to this, you know, historic start. And he's now, you know, tethered to not just that, but he's also tethered to this massive trade made with Chicago that he had no choice of. Like, he's stuck in this kind of rough spot where he has Stroud, who's balling out. And then he had Richardson, you know, before he got hurt, also being, you know, fairly successful. It's we'll see how he responds.
Had the athleticism to be,
to
do that. And Stroud, it was just a matter
absolutely.
Of. They were close, and Stroud maybe landed better, but also there's this whole just because CJ Stroud has been really, really good, especially over the back part of the season.
Yeah,
that's not necessarily an indictment on Bryce Young. He didn't drafted absolutely. Over CJ Stroud.
You are absolutely
that's
right.
An indictment on the Panthers. We're not doing their homework. A lot of us were close on the two. And
everybody had them in the same tier. Yeah. You can have them in different. Everyone had them in the same tier.
So,
and like, there's not one person that was like, oh, man, I had Stroud. So much. No, you didn't.
Maybe for fantasy. I will love this.
Maybe for fantasy. Yeah, no one had them. No one had them that low.
Yeah. There's a reason we do 3-year rolling on our dynasty stuff. And it's because plenty of quarterbacks suck in year one and go on to have long, productive, and decent careers. Yeah, Manning, for example.
He's the true unicorn. Yeah, he's the true unicorn.
There are plenty of others that have shit year ones. It's not like the interception rate's not bad. The completion percentage isn't bad. You know, there's things there that are like, okay, this is average, and it's just an offensive issue is what I see.
There's a whole lot of it's not him, it's the sum of all the parts that are just it's all being compounded. It's just it just looks really bad because the Panthers look fucking terrible,
and they've looked terrible since 2019 with their coaching carousel. Now, you know, just going coach after coach after coach. It's Christ. Like there's no consistency there,
and that's a real problem because somebody with a track record of Frank Reich should have gotten more than a year with a rookie quarterback and no,
he didn't even get a year
infrastructure around him or anything like that. That's
he got 12 games.
We want to see improvement. Okay, well, you can only do so much with personnel, right? And it takes time to build in that personnel on a team that you are rebuilding. Now, has the defense taken steps back? Yeah. Fire your DC. You gotta, especially with young quarterbacks and young offensive players, you have to have some consistency in the building, and they have had none. And you're not just going to fix it by continually firing and bringing in new head coaches without giving anybody a chance to have a little cohesion and build something and show progress. Like, Tepper needs a reality check.
Tepper just needs to sell the team.
Yeah,
just move on.
He's,
you know,
he's bottom.
Like, dude, well, he's
which is even worse because he's gonna be there for a minute.
Yeah,
yeah, he's like their version. He's like East Coast version Jerry Jones right now, trying to run the whole team. Just sit back and let his coaches do their jobs.
That's why you hire your GM.
That's why you hire a GM and a football operations guy and let them run it.
Yeah. Like, he should be sitting back, you know, fucking hanging out in the owner's box, just getting fucking buck wild stupid.
And doesn't mean you don't get into it.
You hired to do the, I mean, he should, sure, but.
Yeah. But let the football guys make football decisions. And damn sure don't be trying to tell people what plays to run because you saw Cleveland.
Run this play because I know their horrible organization ran it.
Yeah, don't scribble down on a post-it note either and say, here, run this. Yeah.
It's like the scene from Benchwarmers. I'm 13. Here, run this play. You know, it's like, what the fuck, dude? No, get the fuck out of here.
I can write Crayola any day of the week.
I saw my son run this play on Madden. I think it could work. Yeah. I don't know what it's called, but this happens, and then that happens.
So, it works every time we play in rookie mode.
That's right. I turn the sliders down to nothing.
David, this is goal line formation from the 40.
Why are you running the punt formation from the 2?
We're trying
to score. Yeah, it's a fake, guys.
We're not running. That's what I was gonna say. We're not running a fake punt on second down.
The kicker's gonna option out, and it's gonna go to the right tackle for a touchdown.
Yeah,
I've seen this happen. I know it'll work.
Yeah,
nobody's gonna fall for that.
I've ran in Madden like a million times. It's like 88% successful.
Yeah.
I heard he's going to come in next week and be like, hey guys, you heard of this new thing called the Wildcat? I was watching film from 2014 and
I saw Ronnie Brown do it.
It was great.
Oh man.
You know, the Eagles have a 92% success rate on the quarterback sneak. Maybe we should just run quarterback sneaks 10 times.
That's right. Have you guys seen this new podcast? It's called the New Heights Podcast. It's got the Kelsey. They call their fan base 92%ers. We should run that play and tank it.
And then get a hoodie. So that way we know it works if we wear it.
I heard you coach well if you wear a hoodie.
That's what I've heard, with cutoff sleeves. All
right. We've beaten this dead horse.
Yeah, DTR is in concussion protocol, speaking of dead horses, which could mean a Joe Flacco start this week against the Rams.
Wait, who's the dead horse in this? Is it DTR? Is it Joe Flacco?
Flacco.
Oh, wow. Man.
It's Wacko for Flacco time.
Hey, it could be good for Amari Cooper.
Might be good for whoever
Elijah Moore.
Moore?
Yeah, then it'd be more of Elijah Moore.
Yeah. Well,
maybe.
Good luck. We'll see what happens there. It's the Rams, too. It's not like it's a bad defense. So if Flacco does start, I might actually move Cooper back into some lineups.
There you go.
Jaden Reed not practicing with a chest issue. He could miss this week's game. Reed's been very, very solid wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 over the last couple weeks. Shown some upside. Been a consistent presence for the Packers and for, you know, players in deeper leagues. So that's relevant. He's having a good rookie year. Travis Etienne not practicing Thursday. The Jags play on Monday, though, so don't read too much into that. Trey McBride, Hollywood Brown, they're both missing practices right now. Zach Ertz has also been released by the Cardinals. So be interesting to see where Ertz lands, because I'm assuming he ends up on a team that's making a playoff push. And maybe
the Eagles?
That's exactly Dallas what I
Goddard?
Thought. With Goddard still being hurt, maybe he ends up back in Philly.
Too spot on. Mm-hmm.
I need Dallas Goddard back like hardcore because I don't know if McBride.
We all need him back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, McBride not? God damn
McBride
it.
McBride and Hollywood Brown are both not practicing right now.
Fuck.
So
don't read too much into it, though.
Yeah. Wednesday, Thursdays have been kind of weird.
That's fair.
This year. And
that's fair.
Really, Friday is the only practice you can trust. So just wait until Friday and see what happens. Typically, if guys have been limited on Friday, they've been playing on Sunday. So kind of a difference from last year, but yep. Fridays are the important ones. Bailey Zappe is in line to start for the Patriots this week, taking all the first team reps. So we're back to that. They've also signed Will Greer from their practice squad. So I guess if Zappe sucks, we're going to get to see some Will Greer.
Let's go.
Man, my 2019 heart just can't take it. We liked him so much.
We did. I like Zappe too, though. Zappe was kind of like the Tyson Bagent for me of last year. So, I mean, it's not great, but for backups, it's fine. It's good. He'll get some spot starts like this one.
He'll do a thing.
Yeah. Shaq Leonard, released by the Colts. He had visits with the Cowboys and the Eagles this week. So, it's a thing to keep an eye on for playoff pushes. We already talked Dallas Goedert. He's going to miss another game. Bengals to make an effort to get Chase Brown more involved. They had running plays in the game plan for him last week, but they didn't get to because they didn't have the ball a whole lot. But rumor is that right now they want to get him a bit more involved. So there's a perspective add is the season winds down and running back help has been hard to find. Chase Brown's a rookie that I think we all liked. We all wondered if he was going to eat into Mixon's workload, and the Bengals apparently want to see what they have there with a Mixon decision looming.
Smart. This is a loss. This is pretty much effectively a loss here for them. Might as well start to see what you got in some of your young bucks.
Yep. Especially a guy like Chase Brown, who showed he could carry the load in college and everything, that could be very, very usable for them and helping to manage the cap too. So, perspective add and good news for Dynasty. If you drafted him, he's sitting on a couple practice squads for me, which is nice. Or taxi squads.
Same here.
Ooh. What's up, the fantasy football addict? Welcome on.
What up? What up? What up?
Holy shit, we have a YouTube listener. Okay.
I do.
Time to try now, guys. Time to try.
I get the stuff out there.
Act like we've been here before.
We got a listener.
We have been. There was a time. All right.
Jets open. It's at our moms.
Jets open Aaron Rodgers 21-day practice window. This is nuts.
Did you see that video?
No.
I mean, QB1 video. He's ready. Put him in this weekend.
The fact that the Jets are still still in playoff contention.
Offensive line.
It just shows how just much of a disappointment it is. Yeah, like
I don't want Jets, Aaron Rodgers come back. It's like just stay.
Robert Saleh is trying to save his career, not his career. Sorry, his job. He's like Rodgers, you got to get back right now. Rodgers about to risk it all for a mid fucking team.
Yeah, like here.
Oh my god, why? It's so dumb.
Let's show this video of you throwing a bomb off your fine legs, and they show him throwing a bomb. I'm like, oh, yep, there it goes. There's gonna be the hype now.
He actually just wants to come back early so he can start to push his own medical shit. That's really what it is. He wants to start his
own herbs and stuff. He's like, I use common medical stuff.
Look what happened to me. I'm fine, guys. I came back after 3 months.
I went in my room full of windows and had plenty of daylight on me. So I had vitamin D to help me heal.
There's absolutely no way he should be playing.
No.
Dead shots of wheatgrass.
No. But the sad part is he's better than anything they have on whatever hobbledness he may have.
Yeah,
we're better than anything they have.
4-7, it's such a long shot playoff lot anyway. Like, long shot playoff lots.
If they're smart, but the Jets have proven this year that they're not very smart. So,
yeah.
It's, you know, rolling with Zach Wilson for as long as they did when they still had good defense, and I mean, Tim Boyle is even worse. My God, I thought Zach Wilson was the worst. Boy, watching Tim Boyle was like, put back in Zach Wilson.
You want to make people appreciate Zach Wilson? Play somebody worse than Zach Wilson.
Just play Tim Boyle.
No, but I'm looking at the AFC right now, right? And so your division leaders, and then both. See, 3 wild cards now, right?
Yeah.
So you'd have your division leaders plus the Steelers and the Browns, and then
the Texans, maybe? Or is it Buffalo? Nope, they just lost.
Colts and Buffalo have the same record. I don't know.
Is it Houston, maybe?
Who has
the
tiebreaker? Well, no, Colts and Texans have the same record. I don't know who has
the tiebreaker. Colts
are listed ahead of them right now. So it would be either the Colts or the Broncos at the moment, depending on tiebreakers in the other one. So 6-5 is what gets you in right now. They're 2 games off the pace, which is hard to make up when you consider that, let's see, you've got the Bills at 6-6. You've got the Colts and Texans both at 6-5. So, I mean, you've got
the Colts are the seventh seed right now, right? Just based off everything.
And they have the Bengals, the Raiders ahead of them, and the Chargers and the Titans at the same record as them. So, like, the only team in the AFC right now that's worse than 4-7 is the Patriots.
Yeah. And they're going to be, they're not winning probably any more games this year. Maybe one more.
Yeah. So
they're going for that. Maybe. They're going for that May Williams sweepstakes.
Long way of saying that their playoff hopes are essentially shot. Don't rush back.
Yeah.
No. Hell no.
But they probably will.
Yeah. For I don't know what reason.
Yeah.
Anyway. Trey Sermon's going to back up Zach Moss. Jonathan Taylor's going to miss some time due to a thumb injury. So Zach Moss Zach Moss is really, really good earlier in the season in pinch hit duty. So.
He has RB1 upside this week, like especially this week. And
oh yeah, he does.
Trey Sermon hasn't been good since the national championship game at Ohio State.
Trey Sermon isn't a threat.
He had no business being that good too. Like that one game is what got him drafted. That
he had two or three games that brought him into it. It's like, dude, you fucking suck.
He was basically like Sony Michel with a dominant, you know, end to his Georgia career, and then convinced the Patriots to take him in the first round.
Dude.
Could you imagine if the Colts do like sneak into the playoffs? Because Fantasy Football just says that I think the Colts sneak into the playoffs. Minshew Mania would be like freaking off the hook.
Huge. I don't think they'll do it, but I mean, Broncos been playing really well though.
Yeah,
kind
Broncos
of.
Been lucky. They don't kind throw of. The ball.
Yeah, they have turned their defense around. They went from they've gone from worst to first, literally.
Right. Vikings looking to make this struck me as a get the ball to Tucker type moment when I read this quote. Get the ball to Tucker. The Vikings are going to look to make a quarterback change come week 14 based on who can most reliably get the ball to Justin.
So Nick Mullins knows the offense better than
Josh
Dobbs.
It sounds like from what I hear, it sounds like the coaching staff still isn't that sold on Jaren Hall.
Doesn't sound like they're sold on anything. It sounds like they're going to evaluate it out of the bye between all three quarterbacks and see who they want to roll with.
It's because they're in the seventh seed. They're like, well, you know, there's still hope. No, just play Hall. If it goes well, great. If it doesn't, then you set yourself up to have your quarterback of the future after, you know, Cousins is gone. You know, you'll probably bring him back for, you know, another year or two and you know, see what happens. But I don't know. It's annoying because Mullins isn't the answer. Dobbs was a great story, but
you don't have an answer, right? So you're going to try to find an answer. And that's where the Vikings are. It's the same thing as the Jets. Mullins is the answer. Okay, great. Who is? Question mark.
Yeah.
Same thing that
maybe
Jets
the rookie you drafted.
Right now.
Who knows? Yeah.
So, you know, you got the rookie you drafted, but you didn't draft the rookie high. And sure, that can be a thing, but maybe it is the veteran who had some limited success in San Francisco. Maybe it is Dobbs who came in and let a feel good story and was playing decent for Arizona. I mean, who is the best option out of that? You make an argument for all three, right?
Yeah.
What do you want to do? The Jaren
just
Hall,
rotate him. Just rotate him in. Fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah. The late 2000s like Gator thing with Chris Leak and Tim Tebow.
The only argument
down the
for
field and then put the Russian quarterback in.
Yeah. The only argument for Jaren Hall is that, and this might give him a little bit of an edge, is you see what you have there. In case there's any concern about when Cousins is going to be ready, you know, going into the offseason what you need to do and what you can do. But you're right, Dan. They're in playoff contention too. So until right now, it's about winning games, and I think that's going to put it more in a Nick Mullins or Josh Dobbs situation than Jaren Hall until they fall out of that seven spot. And I don't know that they will. Looking at the rest of what's there, the Packers or the Rams would be your biggest threat to knock him out of that in the NFC?
It just might end up being gross. Like, it just may end up being one of these teams who just kind of win some of these more
falls into it.
Maybe some of these easier games down this, you know, down the line. The Wolves, or not Wolves, God, my God, I'm basketball. The Vikings have a roughish stretch, at further final three games, but the Lions twice and Green Bay in between. Mm-hmm. So, you know, might be tough for them, but it's going to be who's ever going to catch the high streak at the end. Is going to sneak into that final spot.
Probably two teams to get in on this are going to be ugly in the NFC.
Yeah.
Right now it's Seattle. It's Seattle, Minnesota, Green Bay, and the Saints. Right now.
Oh God. If the NFC South just so happens to put two teams in. What the that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, I have no idea how that would work out. I honestly think you're gonna have two from the East, two from the West, and you know, then one other division to get two there's one more. You could have three from
You could have a two from three divisions.
Yeah, you could have two from three divisions or three from one out of that. And, you know, money might be on the Rams, but I don't know. I have no idea who I like for the 5 and 6 seed out of the NFC. Nobody.
Oh, we got a good game going on right now. It's 2020 as Jaxon Smith-Njigba just scored a touchdown. Right,
they're looking at to see if the ball did any wobbling. But there's a penalty that's going to put him right on the goal line if it doesn't stand. So
big game so far from DK.
Yep. And Geno. DK. I benched Geno. I'm like, oh, Dallas, I don't like it.
I started Geno. Geno
just has not been playing. He's not been playing well. He's been pretty.
I went YOLO.
I mean, it's worked, especially if this touchdown sticks, which it should.
Indeed.
There's a difference.
Feel good story. Hendon Hooker. Window open for his return from NFI. So
ACL tear late. It's such
he's gonna be back in practice. He likely doesn't see any game anything this year with Teddy as the backup there, but he's back. So that's good.
Yep.
I can see the Lions signing Goff to like a short term deal. It's not gonna be it'd be like a 2 to 3 year type deal. Form just
he's your new cousins, bro. Just admit it. You're gonna be with Goff
because they
wasted their best potential to get, you know, a top flight quarterback with the multiple picks this year, and they let that ride.
They did.
And I'm not saying they can't with Goff, because Goff is definitely a part of that. You know, the group of quarterbacks that can win with really good pieces around him, because he's proven that. But, God, did you imagine if they had Stroud? Imagine they would have, you know, used pick 6, and then I think they had, what, pick 17 and moved up or tried to move up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted them. I mean, deep down, not, but that's what I thought they should have done. But
yeah.
It's a lot easier to say with Stroud, but I've always been on that train.
Goff's fun.
The 64 listeners should know that.
Goff is fine.
Oh, no touchdown. First and goal at the one.
At the one. 7 seconds left of the half.
Y'all want to do a Charbonnet touchdown?
Y'all want to do a review, or do you want to go talk some etiquette beforehand and then keep a couple of things after?
We can do a review now. I'm almost out. So
what about that?
I mean, Ryan's got a 2-second review. So
okay, yeah, let's do a review, then we'll get to the second part of the show. Because that's what we do here. We have production meetings on air. And talk over drafts. Hi, I'll start. So I was drinking Victory's Merry Monkey. It's a Belgian-style Trappel. with cranberry, orange peel, cinnamon, and nutmeg. You definitely get, there's alcohol really that jumps out of the glass with it being 10%, which it's not harsh or anything like that, but you know, that just kind of perception comes out behind that. Definitely get a little bit of the spice, the cinnamon and the nutmeg. It's full-bodied, like any good Belgian. The yeast character is definitely up front. With, it's not harsh, it's not hot or anything like that. Being at 10%, there is an impression of bitterness that the alcohol does leave. A little bit warming, but you know, overall, good yeast character to it. A little bit of that, you know, banana and some clove spice. So, cinnamon and nutmeg blend in with that. I don't really get the fruity notes of the cranberry and the orange peel. If anything, I think they're there providing balance to some of the spicier notes more so than they are at the forefront. Finish on this one really, really lingers. It's definitely full. You know, leaves kind of a full feeling in your mouth. But yeah, for a 10%er, it's easy to drink. Solid beer. It's not knock your socks off, but it's pretty solid. It's drinkable. There you go.
Touchdown Metcalf.
Touchdown Seahawks.
It was another fucking flight. Jesus Christ. They did not
defensive offsides this time.
Thank God. The whole, anyways. All right. So I am, I'm on the, you know, beer too, but I'm drinking Lakes and Legends, five Czech, which is your Czech Pilsner. So for those of you that may not know, Czech Pilsners are, you know, just like most Pilsners are, or all Pilsners can be light, dry, very, very crisp and clean. When you drink Czech Pilsners, you know, doing a little bit of research into the style more so, you get your profile of spices, medium, you know, light to medium malt characteristics, a little more malt forward, you know, compared to the other European style Pilsners, you know, to those counterparts. And that is just kind of how this drinks already. You get a bit of the spices in there. You get a little bit of a hot profile, which what helps make a Pilsner Pilsner. You know, that's one of the main, you know, big things is what separates, you know, drinking a Pilsner than, let's say, like an American lager or something like that. So it's very, very simple, very, very, very easy drinking. And if you, you know, come across this type of style, the biggest ones, the most well-known one is the Pilsner Qual. I would recommend picking that up, especially if you like,
oh, Pilsner Urquell?
Like drinking lagers. Yeah. Especially if you like your, you know, like if you like your light drinking bodies, these are really good.
Ryan?
Ryan is, you know, revert back to 5:30.
Yep, revert back to 5:30 if you really, really want to hear my beer review. But I had Shorts Brewing Hoompa Loompalicious. It's an Imperial Indian IPA. Comes at 7.7%. Very good. And Chris nailed it right on the fucking head. So go back to 5:30, hear that. Or if you remember that.
And I'm like, like Nostradamus over here. It's like,
yeah,
IPAs
are like the beer school. It's like IPAs beer school or something.
It's like IPAs are predictably boring most of the time.
Hey, look at me. I'm pretty boring.
You like what you like. I'll give you that.
I do.
All right. Let's move on. So it's that time of year where you are in one of three phases. You either know you have no chance at the playoffs in your redraft leagues. You are fairly confident that you're going to make it or maybe even clinch. Or you're on the cusp and you're fighting for one of the last couple seeds. We're in week 13 officially as of today. Week 14 for most of you will be the last week of the regular season. If not, then you better either have a 2-week playoff. Please do not start them when they're still bye weeks. This is the time that I want to talk etiquette, though, because you start to see a lot of hokey shit happening this time of year, and this is where you're really going to watch for collusion. You know, one of the things you can do to combat this is have an earlier trade deadline in redraft. It's why most trade deadlines in redraft are before right now, but if they're not, or Yeah, usually I don't see the collusion of this level in Dynasty, but if they're not, let's just. What are some of your big don't do's? I'm talking a lot. What are some of your big don't do's if you're a team that's eliminated on the outside looking in? How should they be handling themselves knowing that this isn't their year?
Just set your lineup. You don't have to.
You're talking redraft style, right?
Redraft only, yeah.
Redraft only, okay, yep.
With no. All right, so let's pick a caveat. There's no punishments, you know, in your leagues for finishing last. There's no set styles for keepers or something like that, or however. So straight up redraft. Loser, you know, nothing happens to the loser. There's no, you win money, you know, in the consolation bracket or nothing. Just set your lineup and don't trade. And I won't even pick up any big names. For me personally, I am just set my lineups. If I have to pick up a player, I will. And that's only, you know, based off of injuries or buys. Because we still have one more week of buys after this. As Hopper told me. That's it. That's exactly, like, that's what I would do. That's what I would advise people to do. You know, don't try to be the guy that, like, you know, takes the best waiver ad. I know some people will, and we can get in arguments if one of you, you know, two think the same, but I just want to have fun, watch whoever wins it, and not be the guy who's making trades, you know, for no apparent reason.
Exactly. And for like a standard redraft league, it's like the way I played in a couple of leagues where it's like, if you're in the playoffs, you get waivers. After that, it's wide open. So if you're not a playoff team, you need to fill your roster up. You grab those players, fill up your roster. But
yeah,
the main waivers are for the playoff teams only.
Yeah, that's how I've always played it, even if there's not a rule around it. It's that if I'm out, I'm not going to play waivers because I'm not playing for anything. Now, it's different if there's punishments, but if you're in a position where you're not playing for anything, then sit back and let the people that are have that chance. You can compete at the end. And this is not something that I feel like strongly about, where if you play waivers and are going to compete until the end, I don't think you're necessarily super wrong there, but it's kind of courteous.
You are not.
Thing to just kind of let them.
It's not like making a trade.
It's fun to play spoiler, though. Like, if that team you're playing is, like, the, you know, as of right now, the sixth seed, and if they lose, then, you know, you got two other teams that could be in.
Yes.
That's where I see it's competitive. It's like, no, you can play because even, yeah, you're out, but you can, also, like, that's another way to look at it, too, is
you can spoil it for somebody else.
I have no issue.
That makes for fun rivalries, too.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's like, if you want to do that, absolutely. Just the one thing you should not do is make trades.
Yeah,
like, you're done for the year. Sorry.
Don't make trades. Don't trade your team and your good players to your buddy.
Don't drop your players. Don't drop your
dollar. Don't drop your players for other people to pick up because they're good or whatever. Like, that's when you start to traverse over into collusion, right? Is when you're dropping players for other people to pick up. You're making trades to send people around. You know,
something for nothing.
For cents on the dollar, something for nothing, you know, trading your whole team to a buddy and emerge one super team, which we've seen a couple times. Like, that's not how you, that's, it doesn't keep it fair. The jobs keep the league competitive and fair. And, you know, again, that's why trade deadlines and redraft exist, and they should exist, and they should exist before people are really in a position where they're eliminated or not eliminated. You know, you probably around week 11 or 12, for the most part, they should exist to prevent that. That's why you have trade deadlines, but that's past. So the other caveat there is, you're the commissioner, you got to be on the lookout for it. You got to have a process for catching collusion and keeping things fair.
Yep, and also trust in the other league mates that can help you, you know, point it out. It's not, you know, in Dynasty, you're going to see, you know, you're going to start seeing teams that are not, you know, being competitive to try to, I won't say sneak bad players in, but guys that are clearly not playing their best players.
Yeah, in Dynasty,
it's not even meant, Yeah. And it's not meant to be malicious.
There's a right way to tank. And
yes,
there's like our listener league, right? I'm scoring 40 points a week. And it's not because I'm not starting my best lineup. It's because I traded literally anybody that was good. And it's a deep league. And, you know, we had the situation last week where I was playing another team that was fully tanking and they, you know, didn't start their most efficient lineup, but you could tell looking at their lineup, there was nothing malicious there. They were making effort to start their best lineup, even though they knew they were going to get their ass kicked. That's the appropriate way to tank. Not, you should always make the effort to start your best lineup, even in Dynasty, if you're going for a better draft pick. Now, that being said, I don't know how you guys feel about this, particularly this week where there's six teams on bye. I do not believe that you should have to drop anybody in Dynasty ever to fill out a starting lineup.
1,000% agree.
If you have to play nobody or play somebody on a bye because you can't fill out a starting lineup, there are leagues where my whole bench is on bye. And you can't do anything about it. If you're making the best effort to set a lineup, that's fine. You are not in Dynasty required to make should not be required to make roster changes to fill out a lineup. You should make the best effort with what you have on your roster, not be required to fill it to make roster changes. Plus,
especially like big leagues like that, where it's like, all right, what do you need? You can go from 0 points to maybe 0.1, 0.2 points, you know? There's no difference in a bye week player compared to a player who
I got another league that's got a ton of people on by that actually has players available on the waiver that I'm like, well, you know, and I'm not tanking either. I'm actually firmly in playoff contention. And it's kind of like, well, you know, I'm going to try, but
this is a rough really week for buys. Spot,
so yeah.
Yeah.
This is a very rough week for buys.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't like, and you know, I will admit I am the team that likes to still yield a full complete lineup. Most times tonight, in most dynasty leagues, if the roster size is big enough, there's
churn spots.
There's always churn spots. And I will never tell a team to do this. If I know that you're trying to set a proper lineup, then great. If you have a backup quarterback that probably won't play, not in, though, I'll be like, you should have played him because, again, you're trying to be respectful to the rest of the league because you would want the same if you were.
Anything can happen on any week, right? So maybe they do end up.
Yeah.
Least put the backup in instead of the bye week player.
Yeah. But I've gone on my way to drop players and add, like, this is generally in one QB leagues, is almost always the QB spot to know that this happens in. Maybe the tight end spot with no premiums, but.
Kickers.
Or kickers, yep. Or defenses, even. I always at least try to, but that's just me. Like,
yeah.
I also don't, you know, play in massively, you know, huge, you know, buy-in dynasty leagues. And not all my leagues are mainly for competitiveness and to be, you know, a shit talker. So, like, they're small stakes, low stakes, and they're there, you know, to have fun with my friends. And that's pretty much about it.
Yep. All right. Anything else on etiquette? Obviously, if you're on the bubble, then keep competing if you've clinched.
Yes.
Yeah. The only thing I'd say to teams that have clinched, I've heard some rumblings about this, is because you're clinched, you're still playing for seeding, you're still playing for buys at this point, but even if you're clinched in to a bye week or to seeding or whatever, don't sandbag it so that your buddy who's on the bubble can get in.
That's where the worst of it really comes in my opinion.
There is some of that happens too, and that's just as shitty of a move is colluding on trades or anything like that. Like, you have an obligation to start your best lineup regardless of what position you're in. Don't sandbag it so your buddy can get in.
Yeah.
Or to keep somebody else out and sabotage because you're setting your lineup to keep somebody else, you know, out by letting the other team win.
Yep.
Like,
that's me. I just sabotage to keep people out, but I do it on purpose so that way I try to win.
That's fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
But you should be trying to field your best lineup regardless. All right, cool. 50 minutes. You want to make coaching vacancy predictions, or do you want to skip that and save it for the off seat for before Black Monday?
We're saving that for Black Monday.
All right. Schefter said 7-10. Was going to try to predict them today, but we can save it for Black Monday. All right, Bipocalypse. I do want to talk about this. I want to talk about some guys that may be available or may be startable. We don't do this a whole lot anymore with waivers or with start sits or anything like that, but because this is tied for the most teams on bye and it's a rough week, I think it's prudent for us to do a little bit about this. I'm sure you got an article somewhere.
That's what I say. I write the weekly waiver wire article over at FF Face Off. So, it's definitely a tough week. It sucks. I hate it. I didn't like this week. I thought I was gonna love it with Kyler Murray, but you know what? I said YOLO. Fuck it. It doesn't matter if I win or lose. I'm in.
Ravens, Bills, Bears, Raiders, Vikings, Giants, all on bye. So, looking through this, we'll just kind of give some hits here. So you're without Lamar Jackson, you're without Justin Fields, you're without Josh Allen this week. You know, you don't have a Tommy DeVito. He's been playing better as of late to plug in. So what are we looking at?
This is mom's cooking.
Well, yeah, this is mom's chicken cutlets. So quarterback wise, some guys that could go with a lower roster percentage. Sam Howell's listed at 77%. He's got Miami this week in what should be a high-scoring game with a lot of passing. He's shown an ability as the season's worn on to put up some nice-sized points, so I'll give him that one. The other one that I want to look at here, at least from where I stand at, is Kenny Pickett in Arizona.
There we go.
That was mine, yeah.
That was mine also. I was like, don't say Kenny Pickett. Don't say Kenny Pickett.
There's not a lot of great options. That's
no.
him and my other guy are I'm fine with the most.
Who's your other guy?
Minshew.
Yeah. Minshew and Levis were the other two I was going to throw out.
Yeah.
In that game. Again, you don't have a lot of options right now. So couple quarterbacks that can go out there and hopefully get you something. Derek Carr also against Detroit is only 29% rostered. So.
Yeah, it depends what site you're on, too. Some sites, like, I think it's CBS, because I did my base on CBS, so it's like 71% rostered.
NFL fantasy.
League size and stuff like that, too, are going to be all different.
Yeah.
Those are the true streamers that are probably going to be in most people's waiver pools.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you guys nailed the two. Like, you called out Kenny Pickett and Gardner Minshew, the two I have as my waiver pickups for this week.
Yeah. Running backs. So these are hard positions to fill, right? So couple throwouts here, and I won't steal yours. Why don't you start, Ryan? What was in your article? That way I'm not constantly stealing things.
One of my favorite ones because sometimes I like to scavenger articles just see what other people are writing to see if like, because I hate repeating the same thing over and over again. And one I threw in there because I didn't see it in anyone else's was Samaje Perine.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Top of my list.
And I did that right? too.
Yeah, but one of them, yeah.
You said a 7-for-7 game receiving, didn't he?
Exactly. Like he's a PPR
against the
back.
Vikings. Yeah. It was just fucking wild to say now because he was not a PPR guy, anywhere near PPR guy coming out. But
yeah, he's developed into that.
Outside of last week, which was a tough matchup. He's been very good this year in that department.
Indeed. Some other guys, again, these are going to kind of be ugly. Chuba Hubbard only shows at 52% rostered. He should be rostered everywhere, but if he's not, they've got Tampa Bay. It's a tougher matchup, but he is carving himself into a much larger role there over Miles Sanders. So that is an option. And then I think the only other guy, there's two other ones that come up. Ernest Johnson should be a prospective pickup with Travis Etienne questionable in Jacksonville because he was getting work over even Bigsby. So Ernest Johnson is a prospective pickup. I think I already mentioned Antonio Gibson. So, yeah, that's about it. I really don't got anything else fun there.
No, that's
oh, Chase Brown, who we talked about earlier. If he does,
yeah.
If you buy into coach's hype and he does, you'll see more of a 40% share, then that's something. And a lot of what you're picking up at running back is going to be nothing. So,
yeah, and I got a couple more too. I mean, one is playing right now, which is Rico Dowdle, just because if he should be rostered on everyone's benches if possible, just because if anything does happen to Pollard, you know you got an RB1 right there because they're the one that he's plug and play.
The good call out for playoff strategy right now actually is before you get to the playoffs, get yourself cuffs. It's about the time to roster two tight ends, that type of thing.
Two defenses, two kickers. Oh, not two kickers, but always two defenses.
Yeah.
Another running back I like too is Jeff Wilson. And that's just based on Devon Achane, but also Raheem Mostert now that he has an ankle injury.
Mostert's back at practice and looks like he's going to play, but he can, like we saw with Achane, can always end up banged up. So I like it.
And then one last scraps. One.
Yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott. Behind Ramondre Stevenson, he's seen double-digit touches now between carries and receptions.
Mm-hmm.
So, with Zachary coming in the backfield, we could also see Elliott catching more passes out of the backfield.
Yeah,
I'll take it. I'm playing him in a couple leagues because of the bi-apocalypse.
All right, wide receiver, Dan, you want to start this one off?
No, Ryan Gunn.
You want me to start it off again?
Let's trade off with each other on this. Who's your first prospective pick?
Rashid Rice. If he's available, he definitely shouldn't. I mean, after last week's explosion, I could see him already probably rostered in most leagues now. But if he's available in anyone's league.
He also used Watson in that same vein because Watson's
that's exactly about
70% of the snaps. He's not a massive target getter, but he's got back-to-back touchdowns.
He's a deep threat. Justin Watson's actually somebody I'm having to actively do that with in multiple leagues because he was available. So I'm on Justin Watson as well.
It benefited you last week too with that touchdown.
Yeah. Darius Davis is a guy.
Dontavian Wicks too.
Dontavian Wicks, especially if Reed doesn't play. Jaden Reed, if he does play, who's been solid at the 3 or 4 position.
Josh Palmer, if he comes back.
Palmer, if he's back, I don't think they've even opened his practice window yet, but he's out.
Mario Douglas, if he's comes back, they never said he was in concussion protocol, but if he comes back.
Yeah. Not really a whole lot else to look.
Jameson Williams is a deep one, if available, just because he's on the field more. His stats aren't showing, but he's been actually on the field more. Especially as a run blocker. But I'm starting to see him more and more on the field. And his targets haven't been there yet, but he's at least seen at least three targets ever since the Baltimore game where he saw 6 targets and got goose eggs for nothing. So
you went 0-6?
Yes.
Boy.
He's definitely that like fun. What a great boom bust play.
Detroit and first round picks.
Solid.
Thank God they're great with the rest of the rounds because
another one that may be
a bit fine.
Another one that may be available that's coming back after a huge blow up game that he hasn't played since then is Noah Brown.
Especially with Tank Dell hurt right now.
Yeah.
And Schultz, I mean, I expect them both to play, but
they're banged up. So
more things to monitor.
We'll see. Tight end position is a bit of a crapshoot. Obviously, it always is. But, you are losing Cole Kmet, Isaiah Likely, Dalton Kincaid, TJ Hockenson this week. So you're likely looking for something. Cade Otton with Tampa Bay is generally available and has seen his target share rise up to at least the level of back end tight end one. Juwan Johnson's always seems to be good for a pinch start if you need it. And yeah, I don't know beyond that. There's not, McBride might not be playing. Oof.
Gerald Everett.
Gerald Everett. Yeah.
It's Tucker Craft. It's not pretty.
No, it's ugly week right now.
Yeah.
Real ugly.
You're just fucking hoping.
Shot in a prayer. For 60 yards.
Shot in a prayer. Yeah.
You're hoping for 6 points. That's how bad it is.
You're just hoping for like, you're just hoping for six targets and hopefully that they catch a few of them. You're hoping for points, like,
please. There's so
just
many
give
of
me
them
like five targets, please.
Johnny Smith, because Arthur Smith hates Kyle Pitts. Like, they're so.
God damn it, Gino.
Logan Thomas. Like, there's so much grossness.
Yeah. And most of those guys are picked up because, especially in redraft, if you want to
be
really good, you should be planning ahead through these bye weeks as they start to come up.
Yeah.
And start holding on to guys with good matchups. You know, preemptive.
Yeah, I got
preemptive ads and stuff.
I gotta admit, I'm guilty of not looking ahead, but I will.
Oh, I'm playing way too many fucking leagues to do that. I'm just saying, I'm not practicing when I'm preaching.
I pick somebody up, like, I'm with you, Dan. I look a lot closer when I'm dropping somebody than I do at preemptively picking somebody up. So after the first time I pick somebody up, I may look before I drop them and see like, oh, they've got a pretty good stretch here coming up. I'm gonna go ahead and hold on to them. I actually just had to pick up a kicker to cover a bye week, and then looked at the matchups for both kickers as I was running through it, and actually ended up sticking with the guy that I picked up. So, just it's a thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Look before you drop.
Geno Smith rushing touchdown.
Oh,
5 yards.
I am the only league I have him in is the league I'm playing you in, Hopper. I mean, it's Ryan's league, so it should be fine.
Not mine league.
No, not yours. Caps league.
Yeah.
Day you're trying to lose, should win.
I am trying to lose on that one. That one's harder for me to lose in, though, because that's like one of those rebuilding teams that's on the way up. So
you were where I was last year.
You're
just trying. You got a lot of picks. You got a lot of good players. Now it's just you just got to pull the trigger, right? It's when do I want to pull the trigger and start moving picks?
And it'll probably be next,
some good players.
It'll probably be next year.
Yeah,
get some good players in and then move from there. Right now, I think I've got the one and the two pick. Yeah, right now I've got the top two picks in that draft. So
pretty good spot to be in.
And
there is rumors that Caleb Williams potentially may want to return to 20. May want to return back to USC.
Probably a good thing quarterback isn't my biggest need there, then, huh?
Yeah. It's almost like this is probably arguably the deepest wide receiver class we've
had.
I've got
CJ Stroud. I can trade for a backup.
Yeah.
Because Stroud looks like he's going to be my QB1 of the future. I need running backs, really, more than anything else. So.
And that is just if you're trying to compete, that's the best time to start paying for running backs.
Yeah, because I'm right there. Wide receiver core is fine, but if I've got the top two picks, that's going to put me firmly in place to go get another one and be four deep. So it's a good problem to have.
Yep, I agree.
So I ain't.
You ain't sweating it. You should.
Not there, no. But yeah, that's one of those weird things where I'm like trying to lose, but then next year we'll be trying to go for it and flip that roster and that team around 2 years after I took it over. Pretty good. That actually feels pretty good to take over an orphan that was not in a great spot and turn it around that quick. Anyway, that's a show. I think.
Yeah.
That was good.
I'm good with that.
Yep. All right, cool. Same time next week. Everyone have a good weekend. Good luck as you play your last two regular season weeks and our last two regular
season
weeks.
We're almost done with the regular season.
Ever.
Oh, this feels so good.
Forever.
My stress level will go down.
We're almost done with the regular season forever.
I can start making more and more trivia nights.
All I got to say is for this weekend is go blue. Beat Iowa.
Fucking Iowa.